Welcome into ESPN's off-season special with me, Zach Lowe, and the NBA's ultimate insider, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. The finals stunk, a four-game sweep, and now the NBA's real season is about to start, and actually already started with LeBron not opting into his contract with the Cavs today. Woj, how you doing?
Zach, I'm great. You look great there by the water. Don't jump.
Yeah, it's nice down here in New York. How many phones do you have going? You have the Joe Dumars, like three phones happening? How many phones are going off at once in your life?
Two phones, one that I left in a car last night and had to have it driven back up by the car service. Wait till I try to expense that receipt. Explain it. Yeah.
Wow. The big event of the day was LeBron James deciding not to opt into $35.6 million with the Cleveland Cavaliers next season and becoming an unrestricted free agent. So take us through, what does that mean for, pick a team, the Lakers, the Sixers, the Rockets, even the Cavs? What are the ripple effects of that decision today?
Well, it was the worst news for the Houston Rockets because their best chance, maybe their only real chance to get LeBron, was to work a sign and trade with Cleveland. And LeBron's group had not come to Cleveland at all and said to them, hey, are there some players you like on the Rockets or players you like on another team that's all capped out, that doesn't have salary cap space, that we can start working a sign and trade? That never happened. And so Houston's in a position now where they'll focus on their own free agents. But I think for Cleveland, for the Lakers, it's, you know, they both still financially have an opportunity to be able to, you know, Lakers, he can walk right into their cap space. He can walk into the 76ers cap space. And obviously he can stay in Cleveland if he still wants to do that.
Yeah, the Cavs are trying to spin this as a win for them, and I actually think they have a point, because their view is if he had opted in, it was only going to be for them to trade him to a team like the Rockets or some other, whatever, pick a team. And now that he's opted out, they can re-sign him to a five-year deal. No one else can offer a five-year deal, or they can offer him the most money. That's actually one of the mysteries here. I'd be interested to hear what you think about this. How much does Bron, you know, he's done this thing since coming back to Cleveland of signing one or one plus one deals to maximize his leverage, to kind of keep the Cavs over a barrel. And I actually think that's hurt their position long term if he leaves, because they've just been all in, all in, all in. But that's another subject. What is your sense of, like, what he wants to do? Does he want to keep doing that, or is he interested in wherever I sign is going to be where I'm going to be for 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I think it's unclear whether he wants to do that short term or long term. You know, it's funny, Zach, when the new collective bargaining agreement was passed, and the owners thought it would be an advantage to keeping star players by allowing the incumbent team to sign a player to a 5-year deal. They could guarantee more money. They could give you an extra year that the team you were going to or would leave for couldn't give you, and it has not been an advantage, because players have found that they can do the shorter deals, hold more leverage over the organization, and also, you know, if they don't like a situation, get out of it and move to the next one. That 5-year rule that, you know, again, teams thought would be a great advantage, it has not helped teams. In fact, it's been a wash.
Yeah, to me, the big winners today were the Lakers, because they've been, and we'll talk about this later, they've been in this sort of dance-off with the Spurs and about Kawhi, and do we need to get Kawhi in the door first? And I think the opt-in was kind of bearing down on them of, if LeBron opts in, mechanically it becomes a little bit more difficult for him to get to the Lakers. There's more competition. My guess is there was some celebration at the Lakers offices today when he opted out, because as you said, he can walk into their cap space. Now the mystery is, would he walk into their cap space with no one else there, with no other star, with no Paul George, with no Kawhi? What's your sense of that? Would he go it alone, at least for now, or does he want somebody locked in with him?
I think the preference, Zach, all along has been to have somebody locked in with him. That whether it was Paul George coming in a free agency, whether it's Kawhi Leonard coming in a trade. LeBron knows better than anybody, you can't do this alone. And it is harder to go into L.A. To not win in L.A. You are judged by championships with the Lakers. You're not judged by getting to the conference finals, getting to the NBA finals. And he's going to need a lot of help there to do that, to never mind Golden State, but to get to where Houston is, to, you know, to be able to compete with a great young nucleus in Utah that's going to keep getting better and better. But I think right now, It's incumbent on the Lakers to get that Paul George deal, or get that Kawhi Leonard trade done with San Antonio. And then they can start dealing from a position of strength and going out recruiting LeBron James, because there's not going to be a great enthusiasm to be the first one in the door. You don't know who else is coming with you. And more than that, like, you know, they're in a situation with the Lakers where, you know, they've got those two max slots. Magic and Rob Pelinka have promised superstars in L.A. There's a lot of pressure on them to deliver in 2018, not 2019.
See, I'm fascinated. You know, I don't know if I totally buy the idea that LeBron needs to have another superstar in the bag to go to the Lakers. And actually, today's decision really helps the Lakers leverage with the Spurs, because the Spurs, I think, were trying to play up that opt-in as a deadline by which you got to get Kawhi in the door now, give us your best offer now. And if I'm the Lakers, I say, okay, that deadline's gone. My best offer is maybe off the table for now. Maybe it goes back on the table later. But now we're in a situation where you can walk in. And to me, the Lakers with LeBron, cap space, the city of Los Angeles and the beach and the marketing and all that, and some intriguing young players, I think LeBron should be able to look at that and say, if I go there, someone else is coming. Maybe it's in July. Maybe it's in August. Maybe it's at the trade deadline or before. Maybe another guy even comes next summer. I think it would just be an absolute lock that even if there's no commitment now from Kawhi or Paul George or superstar X, whoever it is, that someone else is going to go there if LeBron goes there. That's not pie in the sky, right? I don't think it is.
No, the Lakers are the Lakers, and it's been the destination for a long time in this league. And if they're run well, if there's an infrastructure of talent, history has shown players, great players find their way there. I think for Cleveland especially right now, and the Lakers should feel even better about their position, given the conversation, the lack of a conversation that James has had with the Cavaliers. And he told them this is how it would go, and he's been consistent since the season ended and really through the year. They've wanted to talk to LeBron about possible trades, about targeting certain players. Who would you like to play with? And if you're going to commit, we'll go, you know, maybe take on some contracts and trade some draft picks, whatever it is, to surround you. He hasn't done that with him. And the word that I've heard used around that Cavalier organization this week and even prior to this is paralyzed. They're a little bit paralyzed because they're operating with no real communication with him. And if LeBron James is going to stay and he decides to stay, he's not going to have a greatly improved team. And I think this goes back to last year, almost to the day when Paul George, they had a deal in place where they could have kept Kyrie Irving. They would have moved Kevin Love out in a three-team trade. And they needed LeBron to tell them that he would commit beyond this year to get Paul George to be willing to commit beyond his opt-out this year. And when LeBron wouldn't do it, Paul George wasn't going to commit, and they didn't do the trade. But he could have had a team this season of Paul George, Kyrie Irving, and himself. And when he didn't commit to it last year at this time, I think Cleveland knew that their chances of keeping him were dim.
Well, that was the deal. Kevin Love goes to Denver in that deal, I believe, and Indiana gets a bunch of picks, and Gary Harris, I think, would go to Indiana. The Cavs would tell you they would have done that deal even without LeBron, I think, committing to them or getting PG to commit to them or whatever it is, and that Indiana backed out of that deal at the last minute. Is that not right, or am I misremembering that?
No, they did, but I think part of it, too, was around the protection of one of the picks, and I think without a promise from LeBron, the Cavaliers were going to try to be a little more conservative on some of the pick protections they had. If he would have committed, they knew they could get Paul. It would have opened up that part of the conversation with the Pacers, with the Nuggets, and then Indiana pivoted and they did the deal with Oklahoma. They did the deal with Oklahoma City, getting Victor Oladipo and Sabonis, and we're in a very different place in 2018 free agency because of it.
All right, before we get back to LeBron ghosting the Cavs again, just like he ghosted the Heat 4 years ago and jumping off cliffs. By the way, that cliff is not so high. I don't know why there's so much drama leading up to that. It's like a 15-foot cliff jump. LeBron's got to be better than that. He's got to break out a backflip if he's going to do that.
It's not that high. It's not that high until you're standing there, though. At least for me.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
Why are we not talking more about Philly? Philly, we're sitting here about talking about LeBron may go it alone in Los Angeles or wait for a second star. Philly has two legitimate stars. Now, LeBron may think they're too young or too inexperienced, and he's going to have to go there and do the heavy lifting of building a culture again. But Brett Brown has built a culture there, you know, through some very painful times. Does it look like Philly is just a non-option, a 2% option? Why is it not in the ether a little bit more?
No, it's a good question because it does, especially if you're LeBron James and you say, at some point, maybe I don't have to be the best player on my team. Now, he may be like 43 years old before, you know, Embiid and Ben Simmons would be better. But he has two young players that he wouldn't have to do as much. And obviously, they'd match right up with Boston. He could walk right in the door there. I think part of that is, L.A. is L.A., and I think he can plant his flag in L.A., Hollywood, all his outside interests, his entertainment company, all those things that come into play. Philly's a great NBA market, but it's – I don't want to say it's a lateral move from Cleveland, but if you're going to leave Cleveland again, I think it does have to be something that sparks everyone's imagination, and I do give the Lakers that over them, but – someone's going to take that max slot in Philly. If it's not this year, they can kind of roll it over again till next year. That's become just a tremendous situation, and I don't think they're going to miss a beat without Brian Colangelo in free agency. Brett Brown will be the face of that organization. He's been that. He will walk into that meeting room on July 1 with free agents. He'll light up that room. I think Brown will be great in this salesman role. No one has embodied that rebuild in Philly as much as he has.
As a neutral party here, I'm rooting for someone to take that max cap slot at Philadelphia. I'm kind of rooting for it to be Kawhi via trade or Paul George via free agency because those guys, you just fit them right in as the guys, you know, they don't need the ball every single possession. I think Kawhi probably had the ball in San Antonio 2 years ago a little bit more than maybe the Spurs were comfortable with, even though he was outstanding. You just tell him, lock down, shoot a lot of threes, kind of be the co-point guard with Ben Simmons. That would be amazing. I'm kind of rooting for someone to take that max slot. Back to Cleveland. You brought this up and just sort of how that deal fell apart last year, almost a year ago to the day, and how LeBron has just not been in communication with them. And to me, the kind of original sin there is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you're deeper into this than I am, LeBron and Dan Gilbert just have never had a relationship. And it seems like the Cavs are just in constant turmoil and melodrama. Couldn't solve the Kyrie Irving crisis when it hit. Couldn't even get everyone in the room. Couldn't decide who the general manager should be for like a prolonged period of very critical time. It just seems like everything stems from a disconnect at the top that just has never been repaired since Dan Gilbert wrote the Comic Sans letter.
Well, there was... you know, Dan Gilbert went down and met with LeBron before he came back from Miami. They sat, they talked, and then there was communication. They would talk. They would text each other at different points in this second partnership in Cleveland. But that really has ended this year. They have not had that communication again. And, you know, there was the change from David Griffin to Kobe Altman in the front office. And, you know, listen, they talk to Rich Paul, his agent, and those conversations go on. But the relationship with LeBron James, with Dan Gilbert, at least the communication lines, they were never going to be close. And they don't have to be close. They don't have to be tight. They just have to have a working professional relationship. And it did become harder this year without it. And you say this about Dan Gilbert. He has spent money. He has gone deep into luxury tax.
That's true.
He has... fully financially committed to now you can make an argument about, you know, did they make the right deal in every case? No, but in terms of financial commitment, he didn't take a shortcut anywhere with LeBron during this run, and they did get a championship out of it.
And they were hamstrung a lot of times by their finances, by not having cap room to replace guys who were up in free agency, and they were hamstrung by the leverage that LeBron had. And by the way, that's his right as a player. He came in, he exerted his power as the best player in the league, and now we are where we are. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, there are other free agents besides LeBron and other trade targets. And we're going to come back and talk with the other superstar, or talk about the other superstar who has been in the news for the last 72 hours.
Kawhi's camp has always felt like they have been slighted by the Spurs all season long.
Just taking my time slow. I could be healthy down the road.
Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs now have a strained relationship.
You'll have to ask Kawhi and his group that question.
There may be a chance that Kawhi played his last game with the Spurs.
Just stop. You want to go to Los Angeles. That's it.
Greg Popovich has met with Kawhi Leonard in Southern California.
You have to be able to look a guy in the eye.
You unhappy here. We need to sit face to face and talk about this.
Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to be in San Antonio anymore because he wants to be in L.A.
Puts pressure on the Lakers to get a trade done.
Kawhi may want Los Angeles. The Spurs may have better options. And frankly, they have no incentive to acquiesce to what Kawhi wants.
All right. Welcome back. Let's do something that Kawhi Leonard has not done much of in the last few months, which is talk about Kawhi Leonard. The great mystery of the league. What is going to happen with Kawhi Leonard? Where is he going to go? It appears the Spurs have crossed the Rubicon and they are going to trade him. It seems inevitable and irreparable at this point. So there are a lot of fans who are going to tune into the NBA's crazy July circus who maybe haven't followed day to day how we got here. So let's just start simple. Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs are essentially not talking to each other. He played 9 games last season. He essentially sat out the whole season with an injury that only people only seem to kind of understand. Yep. So Woj, let's break it down. What happened? How did we get to a place where the Spurs appear ready to trade Kawhi Leonard the moment they get the best offer they think they're going
to
get?
Well, the start here, Zach, they still don't want to trade him. They still want to repair this relationship. They know they will never get value for Kawhi Leonard in the deal, no matter what or who they trade him for. But they're coming to the realization that, and this has been going on for, it got into the public consciousness when we started reporting on it during the season, but it's really been going on since last year. And last August was when he really took his medical, out of their organization and went to his own doctor, went to, private physicians in New York and, really took it out of their hands, and that was a great point of contention. An organization has a player under a max contract, one of the best 2 or 3 in the league, and they don't have control of that medical, and that was a point of contention, and it just continued all year. And I think it's made more difficult by the fact that, like you said it, he's not a great communicator. He's not a great talker. It took them a long time in San Antonio to start to get him, not just to talk on the court, never mind what people see in the media, but to talk among their group. And so I think all of those things contributed to this gulf that started and never got rectified. And so much of the season, he left the team. He was away in New York and New Jersey, spending time away from them, and that continued through the playoffs. And the last straw for him, I was told, was when Tony Parker made those comments about, my quad injury was 100 times worse. And if you remember, shortly after, Kawhi Leonard left San Antonio, and he didn't want to be a part of that media glare there and did not come back until the season was over with.
Yeah, you've heard that. I've heard that. Those Tony Parker comments. Now, Tony Parker is a Spurs legend. He's a Hall of Famer. He's also on the decline, and I believe he's a free agent this summer. Yep. And those comments really, really made Kawhi angry and made Kawhi's people angry and made it feel to him like he was under attack. Now, this has gotten so bad that it's interesting how this has kind of fallen out of the ether now. The Spurs have this carrot that only they can offer, which is the 5-year Supermax contract because Kawhi made All-NBA a couple of years ago. And it's a 5-year, $220 million contract. That's the hammer. That's the carrot. Right. That's the question everyone's always had is, like, is he really going to turn that down if they put that paper in front of him? It seems like I haven't heard about that Supermax in like 2 weeks now. Is that just over? Or if they give, like, what they need to get some major kind of commitment from him to put that on the table, right?
Yeah, I think it's hard to make that offer when a guy is so angry with you and when a guy's not at the table wanting to. And listen, Kawhi may have his reasons, and in his mind, he does have his reasons, and many of them may be and are valid, but it doesn't make sense, I think, for the Spurs to just offer that when things are at such an impasse. But would they love to continue to sit down and talk, continue to try to see if they can repair this before training camp? Of course they would, but I think Kawhi's done a pretty good job of making it clear to them that he's not interested in that. He wants a trade, and it is the one piece of leverage the Spurs do have, Zach, is, well, we can walk away from the deals that are out here on the table right now because, you know, we have that contract, that supermax that we can just sort of kick the can down the road toward training camp. But I think the Spurs right now, if the right deal comes up, Boston, the Lakers, others who are involved, if somebody reaches maybe not the threshold, their threshold's really high right now, but if someone gets close to it, I think they're going to be practical. They're ready to find a trade.
Yeah, and they would trade him to the Lakers, I think, right? I mean, there was a lot of noise how they would never trade him to the Lakers, never in the Western Conference. And to me, that's the emotional response. That's the response you have early when you feel like you've been betrayed as an organization or whatever, and you want to trade him to your rival who he wants to go to and make him happy. But if they offer the best deal, you have to trade him to the Lakers. You have to bite the bullet and trade him to the Lakers. You're probably going to be in a rebuild anyway, although it sounds like the Spurs don't want to pivot into a full rebuild mode, which in and of itself is interesting. But I think you gotta go where the best offer is, period, right?
Yeah, and they will. They haven't ruled out anybody because, first of all, it's not smart negotiating to rule out any team, any conference, any division, any rival. You want everybody bidding on him. It only maybe improves other offers. You mentioned this earlier, Zach. There's that, you know, there's some leverage there. Maybe the Spurs believe, and I think a lot of other teams in the league believe there's some leverage there before LeBron James makes his decision that that the Lakers have some pressure to get Kawhi Leonard. And they were in this position last year with Paul George. They didn't make a significant offer to the Pacers to get Paul George. If they had offered the number two pick in the draft, which turned out to be Lonzo Ball, if they had offered Brandon Ingram, either of them, the Pacers probably would have done a deal with the Lakers, and Paul George would be in L.A. right now, and it'd probably be a lot easier decision for LeBron to come in the door.
If the Lakers haven't put Brandon Ingram in the talks right now, maybe that's just a matter of semantics. There hasn't been
Brandon Ingram in the talks.
If you're not putting Brandon Ingram in the talks, then just hang up the phone and go do something else. Get serious if you're not doing that. Now, the Spurs had some leverage. I think LeBron's opt-in deadline, which was tonight, but he's already said he's not doing it. That was a point of leverage for them. That was their message, I think, to the Lakers, or at least the implied message was, hey, if he opts in, mechanically, he just can't then walk right into your salary cap space. He could go to the Rockets. He opens up lots of paths. So you better get this done before that decision is made, before he opts in. And the Lakers, for whatever reason, clearly didn't put their best chips into the table, kind of called the Spurs bluff, and then LeBron opted out, and he can walk into their cap space. So I think the Spurs leverage has been chipped away a little bit, but, you know, he still hasn't signed with the Lakers. He could still sign with Cleveland, and so they're going to still try to build up that leverage, and what they really need is some other bidder to come to the table. And I'm just not sure if any of these teams, whether it's Boston or Philly, now they'll bid, but it's hard for me to imagine that anyone is going to bid their best stuff, and certainly not the Celtics, without getting a look at the medicals and getting to talk to Kawhi's people, whoever they are, and saying, hey, look, do we have any shot at re-signing the guy?
This works in Kawhi's favor to get to L.A. You just said it. The other teams don't have a traditional agent structure where they have a relationship of an agent they've done business with, they would have to do business with again. To say to them, like, will you give us your word that you'll re-sign with us next summer or that you'll seriously consider it? They don't have a track record in that way. And so it's, you know, several GMs have said to me, it's hard for me to go to my owner and say, hey, I'm confident in this conversation or this commitment with his people about what he might do because I don't know them and most in the league don't know them. That actually works in Kawhi's favor. And Philadelphia, Boston, these are teams who don't have to take big risks for a star. Oklahoma City had to take a risk last year. They had to get someone around Russell Westbrook. They had to do that deal for Paul George. I understand why they did it without a commitment, without knowing. They said, we'll sell Paul George on our culture and our team and our future over the course of a year. We can recruit him every day. They did a great job of it. They're in good position with him now. Boston doesn't have to do that. But Boston and Philly both have, Boston has more draft picks than anybody. Philly has now that Phoenix, the deal they got in the draft night trade, Miami's 2021 pick, which has value. it's a lot easier to put picks in a deal than your good young core. Boston has very little interest in putting Jaylen Brown, never mind Jason Tatum, in an offer to the Spurs. That doesn't, especially for a player, they don't know if they can re-sign him. So, and the Spurs, and you said this, Zach, and it's exactly right, while they want to get picks, they want to get everything. They want young players, they want picks, they want guys who can help them win now, and they want salary cap relief, which means take one of our bad contracts off of our hands. They would like all of those things. Very rarely in trades you get them all. Sometimes you want to get one. A really lucky team can get two of them. But that's where the Spurs are trying to negotiate from. And teams trying to do a trade with San Antonio, they don't trade much. The last significant trade that the Spurs have done, it was Kawhi Leonard, 2011 draft night, the rights to Kawhi Leonard, they traded George Hill. It's been that long since they've done a real big deal.
Yeah, Tatum's not going to get traded, nope. Period. If I'm the Spurs, I don't do any deal with Boston unless I get Jaylen Brown. Not even the Kings pick, which Boston owns next year, as long as it's not number one. And by the way, owning a Kings pick is like owning gold. It's the best thing you can possibly own. No Jaylen Brown, no deal. And to me, the Lakers, if they want to get serious, Ingram, Kuzma, and a couple of first-round picks, that feels like a fair landing spot for this trade. But we'll see. We'll see if it happens. And there's still one other huge free agent or trade target, whatever you want to call these guys. The third star that's dominating the discourse, Paul George. We'll talk about him soon.
Playing alongside Russ, playing alongside Melo, I built a real brotherhood with those guys. If we're here right now, then where can we be next year? Of course, LA is home, so that's always going to draw the attention, but we'll see. You know, it's a big decision, but, you know, when the time comes, I'll be ready for it.
Well, I can't think of an organization with more at stake in the NBA's silly season than the Oklahoma City Thunder, who went all in on what didn't look like that risky of a trade, honestly, last year when they made it for Paul George. And then Victor Oladipo absolutely exploded in Indiana into an all-NBA talent and an all-star talent. And now they sit here hoping to that in 1 year, their culture, playing with Russell Westbrook, everything like that, convinced Paul George to stay. Because if he leaves, it's Westbrook, Steven Adams, whatever Carmelo Anthony has left, and no cap room. And we kind of saw that movie a couple years ago. Now it got Russ the MVP, but it's not leading you anywhere interesting. So this is, to me, a decision that swings potentially the path of an organization for the next 4 or 5 years. And I don't know about you, Woj. We all kind of spent the season assuming he would leave and go to Los Angeles. And the chatter has been the opposite in the last few weeks, that he's actually thinking hard about staying. That surprised me.
Zach, from the day he got there, I went to Oklahoma City and sat down with Paul George maybe a week after the trade. And I got the sense right away from him that he felt at home there. He really liked the organization. And that went on as the season went on. And you would think that a first-round exit to Utah would have just sealed, you know what, this doesn't work. It's not going to work. Well, I'm leaving.
With Russ taking 43 shots in the last game.
And so he must really sincerely like it, because those circumstances would have made you just think, yeah, okay, he's out. And it's not the case. And really, it didn't take them long to sell him on what they had. When they were waiting for him at the airport, the fans were waiting. Sam Presti kind of has that set up where the private jet comes, the fans come. It's right out of Central Casting, but it's a great NBA market. And so is Indiana. Indiana is a tremendous NBA market, tremendous fan base. I'm not saying Oklahoma City's are any better, because Indiana is one of the best. But that feeling, and here's another thing too that I don't know if people have taken, if we've weighed this enough. And we talked about this earlier. The fact that the Lakers did not aggressively go get Paul George when they could have gotten him in a trade, that they took for granted that, well, he wants to come, we're not giving our assets up, we will just sign him next year. And that's the same place the Lakers are now with Kawhi Leonard. What if he gets traded to Boston or Philly and has the exact same kind of experience Paul George has, and we don't get Kawhi next year? That's why when you have a chance to get a star like that, you go do it. I do wonder, when Paul George sits down with the Lakers here in free agency and has that conversation, if that's a question he asks, or if that's on his mind, because they did have a chance in L.A. to get him and not leave this to chance, and they didn't do it.
That's a harder needle to thread for teams, though, than I think fans and maybe even us give it credit for, because, you know, if you don't give up the assets to trade for a guy and get him in the door. And then this happens and maybe you don't get him. You look bad. But if you do what the Knicks did and give up the assets for Carmelo Anthony instead of waiting to free agency to sign him, well, then you're pilloried for that too because you gave up the assets for a guy. It's a hard needle to thread, but you know, we'll see what happens with PG. But you know, if he stays, their payroll with luxury tax is going to be almost a quarter of a billion with a B dollars. And this is the franchise who would not pay James Harden the max all those years ago, 6 years ago, or wherever it was. Are they really just prepared to spend that money to field a team? Is that just the cost of doing business for at least a year until Carmelo's deal expires?
Well, you know, that's a question that Paul George has had to have already asked the Thunder, you know, because they've got to sit down and look at that roster. And number one, how do you improve? We're talking about status quo, re-signing, Jeremy Grant, just, you know, re-signing, him. What does that mean? You know, every million they spend on him is multiplied by three, right? In terms of what the cap is.
I don't think I think Jeremy Grant's going to have a market. I think a lot of teams are interested in him.
Absolutely.
He's very switchable. He could do lots of different things. I don't think they're going to be able to afford him.
No, it's not. And he's in that $9-10 million a year range or at the very minimum, the mid-level exception. So, those are questions Paul George has to be asking them right now. And like you said, to pay that premium for Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, those organizations and those big markets owned by some really wealthy conglomerates and people would have to swallow hard to pay that. This is Oklahoma City, a small market. The case that they'll make in Oklahoma City and what they'll tell you is, well, we had years where we were under the cap, where we didn't pay tax, and we knew that this day was coming financially. We're ready to pay it, but it is going to be... It's a lot easier for Houston to go pay that big luxury tax bill when they were up 3-2 on Golden State in the conference final than Oklahoma City that lost in the opening round to the Jazz.
To a Jazz team, by the way, starting two rookies in the elimination games once Ricky Rubio got hurt. It was not like, the Jazz are really good, but it was not like they lost to some super team. But we're just going to have to see sort of what happens. And if he leaves, I'm just fascinated by what the next steps are. Because like I said, you've seen that movie before and they don't have cap space to really upgrade the team. That said, Sam Presti has a record of pulling unexpected rabbits out of the hat like Paul George, which just when things look bleak for the Thunder, he makes something happen. So I would be fascinated to see what they do if things go the way that they don't want them to go, which is that Paul George leaves. What doors open? What doors close? I mean, you got to start putting all the options on the table in that case.
Right, which is trading Russell Westbrook. I mean, I think that's what you're suggesting. And
do you start to have that discussion, very painful discussion because he's the MVP who stayed. He's the one when everyone else left, he signed on and stayed.
He's so popular there. He is that franchise. He is that organization. I don't think he's ever had a desire to play anywhere else. He's wanted guys to stay with him, to come to him. But the reality would be if Paul George left, that, hey, Oklahoma City had two of the best, you want to say three wings, four wings in the world, and Kevin Durant, Paul George, and both didn't stay. Are we going to try to find another one? Or do we have to say, let's start over here, that we'll be trying to chase a 7-8 seed forever with Russell in this position? But that being said, I like their chances of keeping Paul George. I think they're in great position to do that, but they're going to hold their breath in Oklahoma City until he tells them he's coming. They've been through this with Kevin Durant.
I was going to say, how many off seasons in a row have they been holding their breath for one reason or another in Oklahoma City? Okay, so those are the stars. Those are the three big names. There's so much more to talk about in NBA free agency, and we will do it all after this.
I think the Special Olympics is a great place for everybody to come together. People used to make fun of me. He's stupid. He's dumb. You know, it doesn't... The R word, obviously, I don't really want to say it, but that was definitely one of the words that were used many times as a kid for me. I definitely wanted to come in and surprise them at their practice.
What's up, Drummond?
How are you?
When he came through that door with that smile on his face, I knew it was genuine.
I got too excited, like, geeked up, like, wow, Andre Drummond, wow.
I thought I was the tallest person on the team, but he's tall.
That was the best day ever.
Hey, you guys getting ready for Nationals? You excited?
Oh, yeah.
He said, don't mind people what they say about you. Just go out there and be you and play ball.
I told them to play to the best of your ability, and most importantly, just be yourself.
This is something they will always remember. Always.
Welcome back, and believe it or not, there are free agents who are not LeBron James and Paul George, and unfortunately for them, they are going to find a hostile environment. Woj, I think when we look back 10, 20 years from now, that cap spike of 2016 will look like one of the most seismic events in NBA history and maybe a catastrophic failure of all the parties involved to come together and prevent it, because what we saw was A, an easy path for Kevin Durant to the best team in the league, and B, everybody with so much cap space, they didn't know what to do with it. They ended up giving all these gargantuan contracts out, and now flash forward a couple summers, nobody has any cap room anymore. There's no cap room, and some of the teams that have cap room, Atlanta, Chicago, Sacramento, don't seem particularly interested in using it on veteran free agents. So what is that going to look like in the market at midnight, July 1st, when we usually see a flurry of deals? What are we going to see?
Well, there'll be some deals, but there's also going to be some ultimatums from teams with a lot of leverage telling players, you've got 24 hours, here's your offer. If you don't take it, we're moving on. It's off the table. And players are going to go, and their agents, can we get that number elsewhere in the market? Maybe we could get a little more. Are we going to risk getting, you know, half of that or a third of it? And so it could dictate some deals getting done quickly. And then deals that don't get done quickly, guys who have maybe a bigger expectation for what's out there for them, reality is going to set in. I mean, you know, Avery Bradley, this was a player who thought, you know, $17, $20 million a year. Is he a mid-level exception player now? And, you know, players like J.J. Redick are going to look for maybe that one back again with Redick in Philly, 1 year, big number, to come back if they don't get a big free agent. And so agents have been spending a lot of time trying to alter the expectations of their players, but we know what will happen by the end of the month. A lot of agents will get fired, and players will go to another agent who had another player fire him because they couldn't get it done. So it's going to be a glacial pace to it. We could see free agency last into late July, early August, into the month. I don't think it's going to go quickly.
I'm going on vacation July 25th. It's over. I'm going up. I'm not staying here for Trevor Ariza's free agency into August. So we've got so many mediocre to just okay NBA teams who aren't just over the cap. They're right at the luxury tax, which means they can't even spend the big mid-level exception that you're talking about, which is worth almost $9 million a year. And that used to be the ceiling for the guys who couldn't find a market. They, oh, at least I'll get that. They can only spend the baby mid-level exception, which is like $5.5 million. Still, it's a lot of money, but that is not a deal. Guys are going to take that deal who never imagined that would be their ceiling, $5.5 million a year. And I think what will happen is a lot of them will say, okay, I'm just going to sign that for 1 year, and then I'm going to come back into free agency next summer when some of those hideous 2016 contracts come off the books and a lot of teams have cap room. So to me, that's going to be interesting, is how many guys sign for 1 year, and can the teams, you know, if you're a team with that big mid-level exception, and there aren't many, but it's a team like Memphis or the Knicks maybe, although I don't think they'll use it, the Spurs, the Magic, maybe the Jazz. Can you say to a player like Avery Bradley, hey, look, we've got an extra $3 or $4 million. What we want is 2 or 3 years instead of 1 year. Can we lock you up for more years? I think it's going to be a lot of interesting cat and mouse.
No question. And we're going to see teams who don't want to go into the luxury tax because they can't be Golden State. They're not better than Houston. And owners are saying, why do I want to spend that when we don't really have a chance to win? That will be a big part of this summer free agency. Still some more players, some big names in free agency, including DeMarcus Cousins. We'll talk about them when we come back after this.
And the slam by DeMarcus Cousins with some boogie in his bounce. Cousins with the rebound and put back. Great play. Boogie time.
And then the lob to James. That's Cousins' 8th career triple-double.
44, 24, and 10. Kareem the last to do it nearly 46 years ago.
Cousins misses, and he just got hurt. DeMarcus Cousins is injured.
Oh,
he's holding that left lower leg area.
DeMarcus Cousins has suffered a torn left Achilles tendon. He'll be out for the rest of the season. Just a devastating blow to this Pelicans team.
I don't know that there is a free agent with a more fraught case, market, whatever, than DeMarcus Cousins, an all-NBA player, a stat stuffer who tore his Achilles, the horrible injury against Houston. You just saw it. And now no one quite knows what to do with him, including the Pelicans. And before that injury, it looked like absolute no-brainer, five-year max deal, stay in New Orleans. What can we do to make that happen? Now you look at the market. If Dallas fills their cap space with a center, I just don't know what the team is that's going to pay DeMarcus Cousins coming off that injury, an injury that has devastated almost everyone that suffered it. New Orleans has some leverage, and I don't know how much they're going to use it or what kind of deal, but is there, whoa, Joe, am I missing a team? Is there a market for him somewhere?
Only in the sign and trade, the possibility of a sign and trade market, and that may not be there. You know, DeAndre Jordan has been exploring that sign and trade market. It is not there, but it's what you said, Zach. It's coming off the injury. He was playing the best basketball of his life, and Anthony Davis.
And they were rolling, by the way. They were rolling too as a team.
There's no question. And Anthony Davis told me earlier in the season, like he wants to be with DeMarcus Cousins. They figured out how to play together, and so I think for Cousins, he's going to probably have to come back, show he can be healthy again, do a shorter deal. New Orleans will take him back on a shorter deal. That might be a 1 year with a player option or a team option, or it might be a 2 year deal. You know, I think he'd like to get that max number, but New Orleans may not have to give that to him. But I'll say this, they probably have to be careful in New Orleans that just because they have the leverage doesn't mean you have to use it and crush a guy in negotiations. You want him to come back to your team motivated, determined, and not feeling like you took advantage of him. I think that's a thin line that New Orleans has to walk here. But they've got a great chance to get him back, just dictated by the marketplace and the kind of an injury that is not easy for a big man to come back from.
Yeah, they just may have no competition for him. My dream sign and trade to Washington for Otto Porter may just be too complicated with the luxury tax and all that. Let's get to another big name, a top 10, 12 player that there hasn't been much noise about, and that's Chris Paul. Everyone just sort of assumed that when he opted in and got traded to Houston, the idea was that Houston would re-sign him at the max for 5 years, which would take him into his late 30s. Then he got injured again in the playoffs, and it's these lower leg injuries that keep happening to him. You know, that deal, a 5 year max for Chris Paul, would have a lot of downside risk in years 4 and 5. You'd be paying for championship contention on the front end and some pain on the back. Do we still think he's getting that deal?
Well, I think they're going to get there on a deal after July 1. Both sides want
it. He's going to be a Rocket almost for sure. He's going to be a Rocket.
Whether it's 4 or 5 years, that will be a question. There's no doubt, but Houston knew when they did this sign and trade, when they brought Chris Paul in, they knew they were banking on the first 2-3 years maybe of this deal to have a championship window. And there's nothing that happened last year that made them think that this isn't a group that can beat Golden State. They were up 3-2 in the conference finals when Chris went out and was injured. They were right there in the cusp and still almost beat the Warriors. And we mentioned it with Oklahoma City. It's a lot easier to come back, especially with a new owner, pay that massive luxury tax, and even look out 3-4 years and say, you know, we may be feeling this contract then. The chance to win a title now, they're all in, and Houston likes their chances of maybe getting there with him.
And there are a ton of other really interesting free agents. Aaron Gordon restricted in Orlando. Karl Anthony Towns up for an extension in Minnesota. Big names. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the team hovering over all of this. The two-time defending champion Golden State Warriors, a team everyone's trying to catch.
Welcome to the 2015 NBA Finals. Game one is finally here. James strides down, bumps Iguodala, blocked by Green. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
Breaking news, and it's Golden State for Kevin Durant.
Durant for three. It's good. Kevin Durant from downtown. One of the great playoff runs of all time is complete. The Warriors are NBA champions again. Curry's going to have to put it up. Launches it up. Shot clock. Oh, he knocked it down. Kevin Durant way outside. Delivers. The Golden State Warriors champions once again. Back-to-back titles. 3 in 4 years. There's a new dynasty in the NBA.
I got bad news for everybody. You know that tight market in free agency that we just talked about? It means the Warriors are going to be able to get a good player or maybe two on the minimum. One of them might be Jamal Crawford. Who knows who the others would be. But they're not going to get unknown guys. They're going to get quality veterans at the minimum, and I just don't know what the league can do to catch these guys other than the Rockets reloading and going back again at them.
Yeah, Golden State's in a position to just keep doing this, and there'll be a moment of truth here with Klay Thompson's extension and then Draymond Green. There's been, listen, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant having taken less in free agency, allowing them to keep some players around. We'll see if that continues with Thompson and Draymond, but they can't pay everybody forever. You know, this iteration of the Warriors will certainly continue for at least another season.
And the one that everyone is looking at is Kevin Durant, who's a free agent again this summer. If he signs a 1+1, will he ever be had? Can anyone ever lure him out of there? Will he ever want his own team? That's one of the big mysteries of the league, but I don't think it's going to be solved this summer. But lots of other stuff will. We'll all find out starting on July 1st.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.